Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day to worship our God. The weather is perfect. The temperature is great. And we're here to worship our Lord and as a group. That is such a good thing. We want to welcome everybody that's here. And we certainly know that there are many people out in their homes that are watching this morning. And we want to encourage you who are visiting from afar to follow closely what we do today. We're going to worship our God and our Lord, and we would like for you to really listen and be a part of what we do today. I'm going to read a scripture before we have our prayer this morning, and this scripture is really part of what Russell is going to preach on this morning. As I was preparing for the lesson today, one scripture really struck out to me, one verse. And so I'm going to read it, even though it's a repeat of what he will be doing later in the morning. This is from Psalms chapter 86, and it's verse 11. Now let's pay attention to these words, because it's an entreaty from the author to God. He says first, "Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and give me an undivided heart. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name, reverence your name." So we're asking God to let us hear what he has to say. We're asking God to let us understand what he's told us. And he's asking God to let us live what he's asking us to do. So if you would now, please bow as we begin with the prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for this gorgeous day, the day of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you bless us with to be here this morning. We pray that we will worship you in a way that is pleasing to you, acceptable to you, and strengthening to us. Help us, Lord, to always want to be taught by your word. Help us always to want to listen to your word and to obey your word. We pray, Lord, for those who are ill. Bless them, Lord, with return to health. We're sorry for those who have lost loved ones in the past day. We know that those times come. They're never easy. So we pray that you will be with the family. And we thank you, Lord, for the new baptism that we had yesterday. It's such a good thing when people turn their lives over to you. We now ask you that you will be with us as we worship. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
Good morning. Psalms 86, 1 through 10, verses 1 through 10 is what I'll be reading this morning. It's a scripture reading. And I've read several scripture readings, and I've heard very many. And this is a very profound and inspiring set of verses, and I'd appreciate it if you'd like to listen and follow along. "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant, who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you for you to answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God."
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
Preacher was standing outside as people were coming in and out of the building, and a little boy came by and he said, "Do you say your prayers every night when you go to bed?" And he said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Do you say your prayers every morning when you get up?" And he said, "No, sir, I'm not scared of the daytime." He had a prayer pattern. His prayer pattern was based on fear. He was afraid of what might happen at night, and so he prayed, but he didn't feel that need during the day. What is your prayer pattern? When do you pray? Why do you pray? What do you pray for? When Ava was very little, Dee Dee would say prayers with her at night before she went to bed, and she used this little picture book that has pictures of people that are in her life, like her dad and her grandparents and all the people that are special to her. And she would read it and they would say thank you for those people. That was part of the prayer pattern. And then there came a time where Dee Dee discovered that this was also a mechanism for separation anxiety. And she would show her a picture and then she would start crying because she couldn't be with that person. So the prayer pattern had to change. So we didn't use the book as much anymore, but they talk about people and they talk about things and they pray. Sometimes your prayer pattern has to change for some reason or another. But the important thing is that you have some kind of plan, that you have some kind of pattern you follow, and we grow in those patterns. When I was a little boy, I was in Bible class and they were talking about Daniel and how he three times a day he prayed, and that stuck in my head. And I began morning, noon, and night to feel the importance of saying prayers. But I was at school. I didn't always want to put my hands together or make a scene about it. But when we went to the lunch line, I would stand in the back of the line. Everybody thought I was nice for being last and letting everybody go first. But I would stand in the back of the line and I would say the Lord's Prayer in my head, not out loud, but in my head. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that became a prayer pattern. And then I learned later on that there was what was called the Acts method of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, loosely based on the Lord's Prayer. And that became something I would always think about, but sometimes I would get caught in that specific routine of and the order of adoration first and confession next and then give thanks. And I had to learn that that wasn't the only pattern that was there, because in Scripture there's lots of prayers, Old Testament and New Testament, that show us people's pattern as they go to God in prayer. And in the book of Psalms, it's full of prayers, isn't it? It's interesting that almost all the Psalms will lead you to seek God and to pray. But many of them are songs. And of all the Psalms filled with words to God, prayerful words to God, there's just five that bear the title of a prayer. A prayer of David. There's three. A prayer of an afflicted person seeking God in their need. And the prayer of Moses. That's kind of interesting to me. Just five. These particular ones, Psalm 17, 86, and 142, are Psalms of David. The prayer of an afflicted person is 102, and the prayer of Moses, the man of God, is in Psalm 90. In all the Psalms, they show us that we need to pray and seek God, and they show us words and expressions that help us in our prayer lives. I don't know if you ever pray along with the Psalms or not, but that can be helpful. But these are specific prayers where we see some patterns. And today I want us to look at Psalm 86 and look at the pattern that David gives us about prayer. So turn in your Bibles if you have them with you. If you don't, repent and bring your Bible services. But Psalm 86, 1 through 17, we discover three steps to take as we go to God in prayer that hopefully has really been helpful to me, this particular psalm, and I hope will be beneficial to you, is we all try to establish ourselves deeper in the practice of prayer, because the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. And how can we deal with life and the stress of life and this coronavirus without prayer? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I need some peace, don't you? From anxiety. And when we go to God in prayer, He gives it to us. Jesus exemplified a person that routinely prayed, and there were prayers that He would pray, some of these prayers, as a Jewish man, would have been thought about and articulated by Jesus. And some of His prayers capture our hearts, don't they? He's in the garden. Father, let this cup pass from me. Not my will be done, but yours. He prayed for what He wanted. He accepted what He got. That always does me good. Pray for what I want and accept God's answer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. What are the steps that David shares with us? First of all, start with four basic requests. When we go to God in prayer, we always have requests. But here's four basic requests that we would do good to remember every time we go to God in prayer. First of all, ask God for His attention with a poor spirit. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. He has that blessed are the poor in spirit attitude. What does that mean? Knowing that we're nothing without God, that we're humble, that we come to God and we understand the great need we have and we ask for His attention. He says, hear me, Lord. Some translations say, bend your ear to me. Ava sometimes will grab my head and say, listen to me, right? She wants my attention. She's going to get my attention, but sometimes we want God to know, give me your attention. Bend down and listen to me. I need you to hear me. Ask God for His attention. You're coming before Him, before His throne of grace. Ask for His attention. Hear me, Lord, and answer my prayer. Ask Him to answer so you have the certainty and assurance that it's going to get answered. It may not be answered the way you want to. It may be answered in a longer time period than you want it to happen. Sometimes we can be real impatient that things don't happen real quick. But we can be assured if we ask God, answer me, that He's going to answer us. And we have some promises in the New Testament. When we ask anything according to His will, He's going to hear us. And it's important for us to be in walking in the light as we pursue God in prayer, because He hears. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, not of a wicked man, but of a righteous man. There are conditions as we pray to God. Secondly, He says, ask for His protection. Guard my life. Some of your translations will say, preserve my life. In our modern vernacular, protect my life. For I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. He asks for God's protection. He wants God to be with him, and he wants the certainty of his presence, because he is afraid of things that he's facing in life, and he wants that settled assurance that God is going to be covering his back, taken up for him. He's basically saying, be my bodyguard. I'm dealing with people that are difficult. I'm dealing with the devil that's difficult. Protect me. I always like the words in the prayer, build a hedge around us from Satan. Build a hedge around us to protect us from Satan. The idea is if you're out there in the bush and you don't want lions and wild animals and stuff getting at you, you're going to make a hedge around you to give you some protection. The other night, Dee Dee was putting Ava to bed, and I was in the garage lifting weights, and when I put the weights down, they're metal weights, when I put them down on the concrete, they make a clinking sound. So she looked up at Dee Dee and said, "What is that noise?" And Dee Dee said, "It's Papa in the garage lifting weights." And she said, it happened again. And she said, "What is that noise?" "It's a monster in the garage." And then she looked up at Dee Dee and said, "Is the door shut?" And Dee Dee said, "Yes." And she closed her eyes and went to sleep. She just wanted a little bit of assurance that I got some protection. As long as that door between me and the garage is shut, whatever's in there, you're saying it's Papa, I know it's a monster, whatever's in there is not going to get me. Ask for God's protection. Express to God your need for His help. Do you need God? You better believe it. Sometimes we act like we got it all under control, that there's no worries, that we can handle whatever. No, you can't. That's a prideful spirit, not a humble spirit. Ask for God's protection. Pretty simple, right? And ask God to increase your joy. When's the last time you prayed to God and said, "Increase my joy"? Now, I've heard people say, "Increase my faith. Increase my bank account. Increase my pleasure." But increase my joy? We don't hear that too often, do we? And what a important thing to add as we communicate with God, give me joy. The coronavirus is going on. How many of you have asked God, increase my joy? Or how many of us have expressed other things? Here's a good pattern for prayer. Ask for joy. Why? Because your attitude as you go through a difficulty can make the difference in whether it crumbles you or makes you shine. And the difference many times is joy. What is joy? Joy is not what happens to you, but joy is experiencing something that makes you feel good, makes you feel certain. Sometimes we use different ways to describe what that is, but it is about a settled assurance that God is in control, and no matter what happens on the outside, because of what I know about God, my inside is intact and certain and sure, and I know that I'm going to get through this. The book of Revelations was written primarily for one message. Hallelujah anyway. No matter what happens, no matter what's done to us, read the book of Revelation. Talk about monsters in a garage. Little crazy, isn't it? But if you're in Christ, hallelujah anyway. If you're in Christ, you're going to come out on the other side victorious. It doesn't matter what they do, you're in good shape. That's joy. It's Habakkuk looking out and saying everything's dark and black and bleak. Russell's Revised. And no food on the vines, no sheep in the stalls is what he says. And yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I mean, think about a day that just things keep, the dominoes go down. One thing after another. You get a big bill in the mail. Your washing machine goes out. I was running this morning and somebody's got the air conditioning guys over because their air conditioner went out. I mean, thing after thing happens. Can you still have joy? Yes. Because the outside, the happenings of the world don't affect our joy. Ask God to increase your joy. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. And then, as you look at all of them, think about these requests. Give me your attention. Give me your protection. Ask for forgiveness. I skipped that one, didn't I? It went through. Sorry. Ask, fat thumb. Ask to increase your joy. And we'll go back to see. I skipped it on purpose so you would pay attention. Not really. Ask God for His forgiveness. Give me mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to You all day long. Why does He ask for mercy? Because He needs mercy. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy's not getting what you deserve. And grace is getting more than you deserve. He's just asking God to forgive him and not give him what he deserves. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We all miss the mark. And we need His forgiveness. And so as we look at the complete list, ask for His attention, ask for His protection, ask for His forgiveness, and ask God to increase your joy. Simple request. And then pause to praise God with deep adoration. What is praise? In sign language, it's this: applauding God. Applauding God. Putting your hands together and saying, "Thank you, God." What is worship? It's a kiss toward God. We're showing adoration to God for who He is. And listen to David's words as he breaks out in praise. "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on You. Hear my prayer, Lord, and listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to You because You answer me. Among the gods, there is none like You, Lord. No deeds could compare with Yours. All the nations You have made will come and worship before You, Lord. They will bring glory to Your name. For You are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God." He's given an expression of deep adoration for how powerful and how caring and how loving God is. And he's saying, "You deserve my praise." He's lifting God up. The sad reality, you've heard stories sometimes in our fellowship. Someone agreed with the preacher and they yelled out, "Praise Lord." And somebody leaned over and said, "We don't do that in this church." The problem with a lot of churches today are we don't do that in this church. We need to praise God. If you think He deserves praise, say, "Praise the Lord." Nothing's wrong with that. The walls aren't going to shake. We're not going to slip off into left field. But sometimes we need to acknowledge, "That's good, God. Praise God for that." And we'll be looking at each other like something's wrong but the world needs to hear us praising God. Pause and give God praise. Sometimes our prayers could be, "God, if You just get me out of this, I'll never do that again. If You get me out of this, I'll go to church every Sunday. If You get me out of this, I'll go confess all my sins to the preacher. If You just get me out of this." Prayer's got to be more than that. That's not the prayer pattern we read about in this text. The prayer pattern we see is pause and give God praise. Give thanks. Be the leper who comes back and tells Jesus, "Thank You for doing that." That's what God is looking for. And finally, He's concluding by focusing on your spiritual maturity. He's got some basic requests and he pauses to pray, but then he begins to ask for God to help him mature and grow. Listen to what he says. And Fritz brought attention to this in the opening. "Teach me Your way, O Lord, that I may rely on Your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear Your name. I will praise You, Lord, with all my heart and will glorify Your name forever. For great is Your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead." He's asking God, "Help me grow." And he's going to be asking God also, "Help me glow. Help my light to shine. Help me spread Your word. Help me be an influence on other people. Give me a token of good so people will glorify You." He is asking God to help him grow spiritually by saying, teach me your ways. Now, if you start asking God, teach me your ways, get ready. Because he may take you through some things that you don't necessarily understand are coming, but he will teach you his ways. And it may not always be easy. But David had a heart that said, whatever it is, I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to be complete. Do what you've got to do to give me an undivided heart, a heart of integrity, a heart that knows no compromise. And that's what we need to be aiming for. But you can't ask for maturity and not act mature. If you're childish, can God help you mature? Jesus said, we talked about it Wednesday night, if you, whatever you have, more will be given to you. But what if you don't have it, even that's going to get taken away. If you ask for maturity, show some maturity. And that's what he does in this text. How does he show maturity? He asks for affirmation. He asks for God to strengthen him. He asks that God be glorified. He said, give me a token of good so that they see what's going on. Listen to his words. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf, show strength to your servant. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness, a token, he says. What is that? When David cut off Goliath's head and held it up, it was a token of God's power, strength, and goodness. I mean, throughout the Bible, you see things that happen that God does. It's a token of God's goodness. Why does he ask for that? Because when God does something good and people see it, they realize he is God. It glorifies God. Why does he want a token of goodness for himself? No, he wants it so that God will be seen as God. He wants God to be glorified. He's acting mature because he wants to mature. If you ask God to mature you, you need to act like you're mature, not immature. Don't leave all the work up to God is what I'm saying. You got to do your part. God will do his. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and God will work in you according to his will and purpose. Philippians chapter 2 says. He sought maturity. What a prayer pattern. David wanted to show us that he was established in prayer. Are you established in talking with God? What is your prayer life like? What are your habits? Whether that decreases or increases in your life is up to you. Well, the preacher just doesn't talk about it enough, so I don't pray very well. Don't be blaming me. I'm just so busy. I don't have time to pray. Really? Look at all the other things we have time for. And you don't have time to do some things to increase and enhance your prayer life. There was a book several years ago. It was written by, I got to remember his name, an author years ago who wrote a book called Miracles at Morning Cheer. Harry Rimner was his name. And he tells a story in the book about a young man who had got in the army. This was years and years ago. And he was facing his first night in a barracks that was open, full of other guys. And he had developed a pattern of prayer in his life where he would get on his knees by his bed. He would open his Bible. He would read some. He would pray, and then he would go to sleep. But this place is full of guys that are cussing and joking and messing around. And he's like, well, maybe I should just get up under the covers and just read my Bible and pray a prayer. And then he had this battle going on within himself and said, no, I'm not going to change my colors. They need to have a witness of someone who believes in God. And so he got out his Bible. He got on his knees. And in about 2 or 3 minutes, everything got real quiet. He was waiting for something to be said, waiting for something to happen. But nothing did. The next night, he got out his Bible, and 8 other guys in the barracks got beside their beds on their knees and prayed. And pretty soon, there wasn't a guy in that barracks that wouldn't have fought anybody for that guy. Because when they had a struggle, when they had a problem, they went to him and said, will you pray for me? I don't understand this. Will you explain this to me? And he had a great influence over that whole group of people because he had a prayer pattern. He stuck with it and he let God use it. That's a good lesson for us, isn't it? Get a prayer pattern and stick to it and God will use it. That should give us confidence. And guess what? What else does it teach us? Start with prayer and take it from there. When you're struggling in life, start with prayer and take it from there. You want to reach somebody with the gospel? Start with prayer and take it from there. You want your kids to behave better? Start with prayer and take it from there. You want to raise at your job? Start with prayer and take it from there. You want a better marriage? Start with prayer and take it from there. How many times are you going to say that, Russell? Well, how many times do we end with a prayer after we've done all kinds of other things? How many times do we rely on our own strength before we go to God in prayer? How many times do we get to a point where we're so frustrated because nothing's working out that we finally go to God in prayer? Our first response should be seeking God. That's in the prayer pattern. Paul says, devote yourselves. Center all your life and your actions is what devote is. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. May we be more devoted to prayer as we try to stay devoted to Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you haven't started that devotion yet by being baptized into Christ, and you need to do that. We encourage you to do that. We always want to give that invitation. And maybe you slipped away in your commitment to Jesus and you need to reaffirm that. May we all devote ourselves to God, and may we devote ourselves to prayer as we sing with Kendall.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights unpaid. Scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. still I'll pray, till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith upon heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so.
Now come to the time in our service when we focus on, remember our Savior and the suffering that he did for us. We just sang about it. We do that using these emblems. If you have your little communion packet handy, Christ himself said in Luke 22:19, to do this in remembrance of me. We know from Matthew, Mark, and Luke that the unleavened bread that we have in this packet is to represent Christ's perfect body, which was given for us on the cross. So this is about the cross. It's about his suffering. We know that the fruit of the vine that we drink from this cup represents to us his blood, which was shed for us on that cross. Without the shedding of Christ's blood, we would have no forgiveness of sins and no hope of heaven in our future. These are symbols of suffering, but they are also symbols of forgiveness for us because of what Christ did, if we're serving him, if we're faithful to him. These are also symbols of love, symbols of Christ's love for us, and we just sang about it. I'd like to reread a couple of words from the song that we just sang. It's number 382 in our book. And what the screen didn't show us, I think the paperless hymnal said 2001. The man actually wrote this song back in 1892, long before any of us were born. And it says, why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because he loved me so. And the very last line in the chorus says, he gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. As I said, it was written in 1892. Very, very wise words. But someone said it even better about 2,000 years ago, and that was our Lord himself. We're all familiar with the scripture, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And a preacher friend of mine once said, we should look at familiar scripture more closely. Who said this? God gave his only son. It was Christ himself who said it. Knowing this, I think we can know too that when Christ said that, he was also saying, I loved you so much that I will die for you. God loved us to give his son, but Christ himself had to love us enough to die for us. So he's saying, I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. He later said in John 15, verses 13 and 14, actually, I want to start with verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Christ said that. As he loved us. How did he love us? In verse 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I commanded you. So if we obey Christ, he's saying he laid down his life for us. Of course, he sits in heaven now as we partake of these emblems this morning. As he sits on the right hand of God, he can now say, I loved you so much that I gave my life for you. Let's remember that as we partake these emblems, as we go to our Father in prayer this morning. Father, bless us as we partake this morning, as we think of Christ and the suffering that he went through for us, as we partake of this pure, unleavened bread. Father, we know it represents our pure Savior who gave his body for us on the cross. Father, help us to live in such a way to make our hearts right, make our lives right before you. As we partake of this bread, Lord, help us to remember the suffering that he did for us. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's pray again before we partake of the cup. Father, in like manner, we thank you for this cup, which is to us the shed blood of our Savior. Father, help us to make our hearts right with you, to make our lives right with you, to live in such a way as to honor you and to honor him. We thank you for Jesus, that he was willing to sacrifice himself for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, bless us as we partake. In his name, amen. Another part of our worship this morning, and that concludes the Lord's Supper. But another part of our worship before we close is the blessing and the command that we have to give back to God a portion of what He's blessed us with. We know that through Scripture. One is 1 Corinthians 16, where we're told that we should lay by in store on the first day of the week. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for your contributions. We know from other Scripture that we are to do it freely, cheerfully, that we're to purpose in our heart how much we can give, and that we're to do so to further the work of the church here on earth. Again, thank you for your contributions, and please continue to do that so we can continue the work of the Lord here in this community. As we close our service now, let's go to our Father again in prayer for the contribution and also for the service we've had today. Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for letting us be your children. Thank you, Father, for Jesus and for the love that He had for us, that He was willing to die for us. We pray, Father, that you will bless our service today. Bless all those who are gathered here. Bless all those who are worshiping with us at home. And Father, help us always to keep our hearts and our lives right before you. Father, help us to work to be the Christians you'd have us to be. And Father, we pray that you would bless our contribution today, that you would use it to further your kingdom here and in mission fields that we are able to help support. Thank you, Father, for this service. Thank you for the lesson that Russell brought to us today. Help us to use it in our lives, and help us each to draw closer to each other and closer to you as the days go on. Especially, Lord, thank you for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.